CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for February the 8th, 2009. It is the winter months, which means lots of gaming. And I've been in hibernation. How about you, Mike?
Well, I've been playing a bit of a few things. I got back on the bandwagon of World of Warcraft, much to the chagrin of my friends and family. But I've been having a lot of fun. Started a new character, just kind of playing casually with a few friends. It's a bit different than my hardcore raiding performance before. And still been going through Phoenix Wright. I'm in the middle of the second game, Justice for All, now. So that's about it. It's mostly been dry. I've been doing a lot of work.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy for me as well. So I haven't gotten all that much gaming in. I've been playing a bit of Resident Evil 5, the demo, which we'll kind of go into later. Played some Ace Combat 6 the other night in co-op with Jim, which was pretty fun. Unfortunately, there's no story-based co-op. It's just kind of like Terrorist Hunt in the Sky from Rainbow Six Vegas. So we did a bit of that. It was pretty cool, though. Really, that's about it. I had planned to play more of the Dawn of War 2 beta, but I haven't even turned my PC on in probably a week. So that's a bummer. But the other thing I know both of us have actually been playing is the Halo Wars demo.
And, yes.
That was released last week, and I came away quite impressed. I had played it at E3, and I kind of knew what to expect, and they polished it up a bit, and I was satisfied. So I can't wait for the end of the month when it comes out. How about you?
You know, after us fumbling our way through Red Alert 3 on the 360, I really wasn't looking forward to Halo Wars, because everybody build Red Alert and the Command & Conquer series as having pretty good controls for a console RTS. So I had high hopes for it and was left pretty much all thumbs in a bad way. And so it was with some skepticism that I picked up Halo Wars. And I have to say, I think they've got it right. The micromanagement in this game is at an acceptable level, in that there is almost none. But the way the controls work is there's a button for selecting, a button for attacking or interacting, and a button for the special power of whatever unit you're controlling. You don't have to hold a left trigger and open a radial menu and scroll to something and then scroll to something else in a submenu to unlock it. It's all pretty much right there. There's no digging through. And I loved it. I had a really good time.
Yeah, I mean, and even above and beyond those direct things that are in your face, there's a lot of subtleties that the game does that's nice. I don't know if you noticed, but there's like a snap to almost to the unit. So if you get within your cursor gets close to it and you let go of the stick, it'll snap to that unit and select it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you let it go, the camera just sits there and follows that unit for you. You don't have to scroll around the map with it. It'll move along with it. So that's a nice little subtle feature.
Yeah, and it does that for enemies too, which I liked.
Yeah. And then the other thing, which we talked about, was kind of this unit queue. And the way that works is, you can select all your units, and at the bottom you see what you have selected. And you can quickly tap the right trigger, and it'll sub-select of the things you have there, and then you can issue commands. So if you have all your units selected and you're attacking like a group of enemies and maybe a shield generator, you can tab over, select your warthogs, tell them to go run over the grunts, tab over again real quick, and have your marines toss grenades at the shield generator, all without unselecting or anything. You can have everybody selected, and then immediately afterwards you can issue command to all of them by hitting the left trigger and then going on your business. So keeps the speed up of the game.
I also had to enjoy the fact that they do differentiate between selecting all of your units and selecting all of them that are currently on the screen.
Yeah.
So you don't send half your army one way, half your army another way, and then hit select all to do a big attack and pull your secondary force out of whatever they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely tell that they took the time to analyze how it's going to be played on a console and optimize everything that you do for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people complained a bit about the strategy element to it and that it's, you know, it's not really that in-depth. It basically, we had discussed this before the podcast, basically it comes down to, do you want to have a ton of resources so you can build a lot of units, or do you want to have a technologically advanced army and not as many resources? So, you know, basically what happens is you have a limited base to work with. There's, I think, 6 spots to build on, right? Maybe 8.
It depends on the size of your base. I think it starts with 6 and the upgrades to 8.
Yeah.
But then you can take over other, like if you destroy a Covenant base, you can then claim it as your own.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works then, if the technological upgrades go between all of your entire army. I would assume it does, so.
Well, you don't have, like, if you build the basic base, it has certain abilities, and if you upgrade the hell out of that, it'll have all the stuff on it, and it'll be the fortress, which is, you know, I guess has more armor,
right,
and whatnot. But if you claim another one, it starts out as the basic unit again, and then you upgrade it, but I'm not sure how the units that you produce from it work.
Right. So the other demo that came out 2 weeks ago now, almost 2 weeks ago, was Resident Evil 5. I tell you what, we've had a couple stories about it because it released first for the 360, and then about 8 days later it released on the PlayStation Network. So both sets of gamers have had their hands on it, and both sets of gamers have pretty torn on the controls. The controls are basically the central issue of it. Some people like them, some people are kind of indifferent about it. I think the majority of the people are complaining about them, or maybe they're just the most vocal about them.
I don't know. My problem with the demo was not the controls, as average as they were. I didn't feel like they did all they could with them. But my problem was the fact that I have played Resident Evil 4 fairly recently.
Uh-huh.
And Resident Evil 5 takes 2 very familiar elements from Resident Evil 4 and bases the demo around them. So, in essence, it is showcasing nothing new unless you play the co-op.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The funniest thing for me was starting it up, right? Having played recently, like Left 4 Dead and Call of Duty World at War, which both the zombies in it are fast, right? Yeah, they're slow and lumbering at a point, but they get fast, right? And in Resident Evil, you start out pretty much right away with a cutscene, and it shows this guy killing another person in front of a crowd of all these infected people. And he suddenly sees you, Chris and Shiva, the two characters who you can be, and, you know, sends the horde of people, and you know, they get all riled up, and they start running, and you're like, oh, crap, I gotta get ready. It cuts back, you're in this little shack, and you look outside, and they're shambling at you. You're like, what just happened? Did they get tired already? You know, was it that long of a run?
I'll tell you what happened is they decided that they wanted to let you replay the first 5 minutes of Resident Evil 4 again. And they stick you in the boarded up shack and you push the crates and stuff in front of the walls so they can't break through. And then you play whack-a-mole with them because, you know, they all kind of encircle you.
Yeah.
And you'll see one kind of take a step forward and you shoot him and knocks him back a couple steps. And you shoot the next guy that's forward at you and you rinse and repeat until you kill all of them.
Yeah.
And then one will come out from the because the camera angle's zoomed up so close on you, you'll have the guy that comes out from your blind spot and tries to give you a little hug. So your arm, like, you'll see half of him on your screen, and your arms will be sticking through him, and he's not doing much to you other than trying to, you know, make with the love, but you can still shoot him even though your gun is, you know, a foot behind him.
So, yeah, so you didn't have a problem so much with the controls as it was just a rehash of Resident Evil. They didn't seem to add much new for you.
Well, the biggest thing was, you know, I hadn't played it with the co-op yet, and I'm still very interested in seeing how it plays, because Resident Evil games, you have to take the controls and the camera with a grain of salt. They're particularly bad this time because of the reasons I stated before. But the thing that really irked me is that there comes a point in the demo when you and Shiva are at the top of a hotel, and you vault her across to this other building so she can work her way down and unlock a door.
Right.
And you have a sniper rifle, and she says, "Okay, I'm going across, cover me." The very first thing she does when she crosses to the other building is run down a set of stairs that has a zombie horde in it. So instead of being able to cover her, you have to frantically run your ass back downstairs to try and get a good shot on the enemies that she decided to bum rush before you had a chance to react.
Yeah, I mean, when we played co-op, we didn't obviously didn't have that problem because my partner in crime wasn't an idiot. But
yeah,
he didn't decide to run into the zombie horde like that, but you know, it did do some cool things. Like I said, it is all co-op. Resident Evil 5, the entire game from start to finish is cooperative. So we got to give it props there. It does do some nice things with the interface for co-op. You always know what the status of your partner's health is. You always know what item they have and what gun they have in their hand.
And how much ammo.
How much ammo they have. there's a funny YouTube video out there. You can, if you press the, I think it's the right trigger, it locates your co-op partner, like, within the screen. But what actually happens, if you're Chris and it locates Shiva, and you let it follow it into her, it basically locates her boobs. Like, the little blippy thing just zooms right in on her boobs. So the guy put together, like, this video of it, like, 20 times, like, just zooming in on her boobs. He's like, this is the best feature ever in a video game, the booby locator.
That's almost as awesome as the love letter to Zoe in Left 4 Dead. I don't know if you ever saw that video.
Yeah, I did.
The one where the smokers strangle her and drag her away, and yeah, they set it to "Let's Get It On."
Yeah.
And just linger on the death scene for a while. It's pretty disturbing, but I don't know. I laughed.
So anyway, I kind of enjoyed the demo. I didn't play through Resident Evil 4 all the way. I actually kind of got tired of the game. And I had played it on the Wii. When I first got a Wii, yeah, I had picked up the GameCube version and played it then.
You didn't play the Wii version?
It wasn't out. Because it was like right when the Wii came out. And I hadn't had a GameCube in a while. And that's like the first thing I wanted to do with my Wii was actually buy Resident Evil 4 and play through that.
See, the Wii version of Resident Evil 4 made the game a freaking cakewalk because, you know, the aiming controls in Resident Evil 4 were about as good as they are in Resident Evil 5. And with the Wii, once you got the hang of how everything worked, you could just pop off headshot after headshot against the enemies and pretty much conserve all your ammo the whole way through. So, and, you know, it makes the game go considerably quicker.
So, yeah, I had fun with the demo. I was a bit frustrated with the controls after playing a game like Dead Space where they did the survival horror thing. They let you move and shoot at the same time. It seemed more fluid. Like, I felt very stiff in Resident Evil 5.
Well, I didn't. The moving and shooting thing is the sticking point with me. I could care less if the aiming sucks because the enemies are moving so slow that it's almost a non-issue.
Yeah.
It's that I'm turning to you run out of ammo, for instance, and they thankfully give you a quick turn thing so you can do a 180 and run the hell out of there.
Uh-huh.
That's great. But if I'm out of ammo and I need to reload, do you think I'm going to try and reload when I run away? If you do that, you stop.
Yeah.
You stop moving and reload, and those enemies you were trying to run away from just catch right back up to you and give you another little lovely hug.
Yeah, I mean, maybe after the podcast, either tonight or maybe sometime this week, we should try and play through the demo together, because I still haven't even beaten it. And I'd like to do that. Both the scenarios in it, I got my butt kicked. So maybe your superior skills.
At least one of them ends with you dying.
Yeah. Okay. So now that you've despoiled that for everybody, let's move on. So another news story we wanted to talk about is something of a surprise to both me and you.
And let's not say that this is a surprise just paying lip service. This is, saying it's a surprise is probably the understatement of the year.
So let's not say what the game is yet. Let's just talk about it, because we've been kind of like making fun of it for a while, just because we're like, no, this isn't really, no, this can't be good. Yeah, it has co-op, but this, it's him, no, you know, we just made fun of it. Every time a new story would come out about it and stuff, you know, we just didn't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard good things about it, and it was, you know, a lot of people said, oh, it's kind of like Gears of War. It's a little more arcadey, but it's got 2-player co-op, and you know, it's good. It's surprising, especially since it's a sequel to a game, and the first game was not good at all.
So, that is also an understatement.
But then we saw a video about a week and a half or so ago of this, 2 weeks ago, and the video showed the co-op mode, and it showed the scoring system, and it showed just
the flow of action.
Yeah. So the game we were talking about is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. Yes, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. And it looks awesome. As soon as I said that to you, what was your exact word? Something like, oh my god, I need to have this?
Yeah, I think it was, I must play this game, and I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah. If you get a chance, hit up Co-Optimus, look for the 50 Cent tag, and check out the videos. But basically, it looks like a combination between Gears of War and a game called, it just slipped my mind.
I think it looks like a combination of Gears and Stranglehold, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the Stranglehold comparison, but the whole scoring system, and in fact, the...
Oh, the club. You're talking about the club.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Because I was the one that said that in the first place anyway.
Yeah.
Remember?
But they even...
Good times.
Well, the one reason, too, the big one is in the video... They show you, like, there's, like, hidden things you take out, and they show you shooting targets, like, hidden targets to get bonus points and stuff, which is literally straight out of the club. Like, there's hidden targets and skulls in the club, which help you bring up your multiplier and stuff and get a better score. So it looks like score plays a big part in the 50 Cent game, but...
There were a lot of things, right?
It wasn't exactly score, it's like your bling.
Yeah, it's your bling. The thing that I actually liked is they had kind of the... You know how Gears had the active reload, and that was kind of a little meta game that you got rewarded for?
Yeah.
You know, being really precise with your timing. What this does is and I don't remember what they called them, but there'll be a wave of enemies that spawns, and then a little timer starts counting down. And if you take out the enemies or complete whatever objective it says within the time limit, it gives you, like, incendiary rounds or a grenade or... You know, some little perk to cause even more carnage in the level.
Yeah, there's like these mini challenges in sections of the game that pop up, and if you complete it, you get like this kind of a carnage bonus or something like that, which is pretty unique. There's like crates and stuff to destroy where you can up your score and stuff like that. Like, score just looks like it plays a huge role in it, and we should have an interview out, hopefully in the next week or two with some of the developers. And one of the questions I had actually asked is, like, in the co-op mode, is a score like a combined thing, or is it like a competitive score, like kind of like Halo's co-op mode where you can turn the scoring on? So I'm curious about that, because it'd be cool to have like leaderboards with that and any of the best 50 Cent squad out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, and this is kudos to the developer, because they kind of realize that they have a licensed property.
Uh-huh.
And the game doesn't appear to take itself seriously at all.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it look fun, is it knows it's so incredibly over the top, and it makes the most of that.
Yeah.
I mean, 50, or 50, pardon me. Is the whole impetus of your adventure in the game is you were supposed to be given a diamond encrusted skull as payment for a benefit concert in Iraq, and either the guy who was supposed to give it to you welches on it, or it gets stolen, and Fitty decides to destroy half of Baghdad to get it back.
How can you not want to play that?
I don't know how anyone would not want to at least see this game.
So yeah, we were both pleasantly surprised. There's been a couple videos coming out for that, and all of them I've been really impressed with. Graphically, it looks pretty good. It just looks fun. It looks like mindless fun.
Yep.
So kudos to them. Hopefully we'll have that interview up, like I said, in the next week and a half here. The game does come out in a couple weeks, like 2 weeks actually. So moving on, I went to Comic-Con, the New York Comic-Con, I should say, yesterday, and we wanted to talk a bit about what we saw, or what I saw.
I'm going to listen.
And so, if anybody's ever been to a Comic-Con, maybe you know what to expect. I really didn't know what to expect from the New York Comic-Con. The good thing was, They put out a press release a couple days before the con started, and they said, you know, this year there's actually 50% of it's going to be video game related, and then the other 50% is going to be comic book related. I kind of thought when released it, I looked over the list and stuff, I was like, okay, yeah, there's going to be a couple big name companies, EA, Ubisoft, Sega, but then I thought it was going to be kind of like, I don't know, mobile games, like things that like we don't really consider, you know, core gaming, but more like the casual oriented stuff. But when I got there, I was pleasantly surprised, and there were a lot of big names there too. Besides those, THQ was there showing off stuff. Rockstar had a van showing off their DS game coming out. Just a lot of gaming stuff, and big expansive kind of booths. So, like, Atari is doing the new Ready to Rumble game. They actually had, like, a boxing ring, like, there. And they had, like a booth babe in it and all decked out. And I don't know if she was having people come up and she knocked the crap out of them or whatever. But at one point they did have a Let's Get Ready to Rumble contest where you would, you know, you'd say, "Let's get ready to rumble!" Well, so, like, the whole Comic-Con floor could hear it. And so these people were coming up. And then they actually brought up, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
But Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer, thank you. They brought him up up and he did it too. And it, like, I was doing an interview at the time, and everyone just kind of like stopped because it was so loud, and like everybody, you know, even over all the talking heard it. So
how would you like to be that guy? That's all that guy does.
Yeah. That's great. So I got some hands-on time with quite a few games. Wasn't too much in the way of co-op there, but a couple of them impressed me. Hawks, we actually got a lot of time with, and you know, sidetrack real quick.
Was it extreme?
We'll get there. And it's very weird. Like, so games. There was like Hawks there. There was a game called Damnation. This game called Invincible Tiger, which was just announced. It's kind of like a beat 'em up game. A bunch of co-op games there that they don't show the co-op mode on the floor, and I think it would almost benefit a game, especially if it has something like split screen or same screen co-op, because then you get more people at the same station playing, like House of the Dead Overkill, right? They only let one person play at the same time. It's like those kind of games are made to be played with two people, and I just found it weird that they don't have the co-op on the show floor for that.
It is kind of weird.
You know, it just seemed weird. Both I was with my buddy Coop, and he had said the same thing. He's like, we were checking out Hawks, and be like, man, why the booth next to him was open. He's like, why don't they have the co-op hooked up here? I mean, we could be playing this and checking out. I go, yeah, it's kind of lame. So anyway, got to watch him play Hawks though for a good 10 minutes. He was actually playing with the SciTech joystick with it. They had that hooked up. I think it's the one that comes with Ace Combat. And I was really impressed. Graphically, looks really good, but it's a little more arcadey than like the Ace Combat games, which were already arcadey, I guess. The one neat feature I saw that I liked was has this intercept mode, and basically what that means is like if you're in a dogfight and you're kind of targeted on a guy and you're chasing him, you're having a hard time getting him, you know, getting behind him to take him down, you hit X. And it brings up like a HUD where it shows these like blue gates on the screen. And you kind of like, what you do is you fly through the gates and it'll take you on an intercept course with the guy and you'll end up behind him and you can take him down. So that was pretty cool. There's also I can't remember what they call it. I want to say they call it like aim assist or view assist or something. And if you double tap a trigger button, it takes you from a behind the ship view, behind the plane view, to kind of like this three-quarter isometric view that's the camera's pan back a ways. And it lets you can easily see like missiles coming at you, and you get a better view of your surroundings and kind of can get your bearings a little better to see what's going on. And Coop actually played most of the demo in that view just because he found it was a lot easier to locate his target and take it down quickly. So that was pretty impressive. The game's going to have four-player drop-in and drop-out co-op for the whole campaign. It was right there. As soon as you start it up, the main menu has the options. Like, it's actually the first two options in it. It's like, host a co-op game and join a co-op game. So nice. I thought that was pretty cool. You can definitely tell that they're focusing on it. It has, like, if you ever played, like, the Ghost Recon games, where it has, like, that little window with the video feed and stuff, you know, it's talking to the other pilots that... I think it'd be cool if they have, like, let you use your Vision Cam or your PlayStation camera, and actually has, like, when you talk to the people, it actually brings up your little video feed of it. It'd be cool.
Yeah, so, it would.
So that really impressed me. It was a lot of fun. I did get some hands-on time with it later after watching him, and I played through one of the later missions, and it's just... it reminds me of... The old Top Gun game on the NES, if you ever played that. It's just lots of guys to take down, you know, quick battles, not a lot of downtime, lots of targets. And like I said, it's gorgeous, too.
You know what this is actually making me crave, and not because they're extraordinarily similar, but another Crimson Skies. Because I love them. I love those games.
Yeah, those guys... You know, obviously FASA doesn't really exist anymore.
Right.
But a lot of those guys went on, and there's a game coming out. It's called
Dark Void.
Yeah. Thank you. You're on the ball tonight, man, with the names for me, because I'm just so exhausted. I can't think of anything. But
yeah, that game looks fun, but I'm pretty sure there's no co-op in it, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's kind of like a Rocketeer kind of a character.
Yeah.
And that should be pretty fun. So what else did we get to play? I didn't get to actually play Ghostbusters because the line was huge. But I talked to the lead developer on the Wii version of the game. And the good news here is split-screen co-op through the entire story is in the game. And the entire story of that game is actually exactly the same as the story of the 360 and PS3 version. It uses the same voice work and stuff like that. The major difference is the Wii version isn't like this scaled down graphical version of the other games. What they did is they created all new assets for it. It's got its own style. It's kind of like kind of cartoony. The characters have like bigger heads.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of like
NBA Jam.
Yeah, well, kind of. It's kind of more anime-ish, I guess. It's a little more colorful. But, you know, it looked fun. I got to say, watching the people play with so basically you play with the Wiimote and the nunchuck, and they'll sit there and they'll get the guys in the proton stream, and they're like, okay, you got it. Now send out, like, they have this thing where you send out, like, this proton blast that really holds them in place, so they snap the Wiimote, and you can see, like, this cage blast go out, grab the guy. They're like, okay, throw out the trap, and then you take the nunchuck and you whip that out like you're throwing the trap out, and then, you know, and then you pull them in. So it's kind of cool, you know. It's kind of something all of us wanted to do as kids when we were watching the movies and stuff.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it looked fun. I gotta admit, you know, I'm not big into the Wii. So then after I talked with him about the Wii version a bit, he was actually, quick side note, he was all happy when he heard about Co-Optimus. He's like, oh, I play co-op with my wife all the time. He's like, it's always tough for us to find out which games we can play in split screen and local and stuff. He's like, I don't want to buy another 360 just for her so we can play Two Human and stuff like that. And I was like, well, that's why we created this site. So hopefully he visits, and maybe he's even listening to this podcast right now.
Maybe.
So
just hope you got your facts straight about his game, or he might not like the website anymore.
Yeah, no, I know I did. So after I talked to him, I talked to another developer who's actually, I think he was a producer for the next gen versions of the game. And, you know, he asked me, he's like, what's your website and stuff? I told him what we were about. And he's like, oh, you're not going to like talking to me. I was like, you pulled the co-op completely, didn't you? He goes, no. He goes, I just can't say anything. I go, well, this is what I heard. It's kind of like Horde mode now, like from Gears of War 2, where it's just these missions. He's like, well, all I can say is, like, it's what you'd want Ghostbusters experience to be like. But that's all I can say. I'm like, okay. So,
interesting.
It almost sounds like maybe it's getting added back in. A story that they told me there, actually, at the booth, a couple of the guys, they had like four people from the team. And they said, when Atari picked up the license, they asked him, said, hey, can you give us a list of the things you want to change with the game? They're like, okay, well, this is a first. So they came up with like 20 or 25 things, and they gave the list, and they were hoping, you know, maybe 10% of them Atari would approve. They approved every single one on the list.
This story sounds familiar. It's like, so, what happened with Time Shift.
Right, yeah. So they were like ecstatic. And this includes things like, they brought the original actors back in again and recorded like an additional like 600 lines of dialogue. And just, you know, various improvements in the game and changes and stuff. And so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we're going to see a true co-op mode in the next gen version of the game. Because despite, you know, the fun I would have with the Wii and the controls, the next gen version is just one of the best looking games I've seen ever. it's pretty. It's so gorgeous. The colors, it's jump off the screen. The way the proton beams look, it's exactly like they look in the movies without that cheesy 80s effects feel. You know,
yeah.
The Marshmallow Man in the scene, they have the scene in the demo on the floor. The Marshmallow Man's coming up the building, and you can taste the marshmallow on the texture. Like, that's how good it looks. It's awesome. So I'm stoked for that. Unfortunately, we got to wait until June when the movie gets re-released for the 25th anniversary of the game. There will be a demo for it, they said. Both. They didn't say, though, if it would have any of the co-op or anything in it, obviously, because they don't know or aren't saying anything about it. So moving on. One of the games that was kind of a surprise to me, it was just announced, it was the Invincible Tiger, The Legend of Han Chao. And it's an Xbox Live Arcade game and a PlayStation Network game.
Okay.
It's from Namco Bandai. And when we got the screenshots and stuff for this, I was like, this looks like a kind of like Ragdoll Kung Fu from the screenshots. But when I got my hands on it, actually, it's not anything like it. In fact, the animation on the characters remind me of like Flashback or like Outworld. Was it Outworld the name of the game?
Out of This World.
Out of This World, thank you. So I'm fucked tonight with naming games. but it's just really smooth, silky smooth characters. Like, there's not a lot of detail on the characters, but there's a lot of like really smooth animations and stuff. And so when you're going all kung fu style on the guys and stuff, and like you'll be punching and kicking the guy in front of you, and someone comes behind you, the way it'll transition the animation to, as your guy turns around, like he may do kind of like a drunken kung fu style falling back, punching and turning and spinning, mm-hmm. kind of a menu, and it just, it flowed really well. It was real fast paced, and yeah. it just has this 70s grain kung fu filter on the whole thing. Like, it's really stylized, and there's these like set pieces basically are the missions. It's a 2-player co-op game, kind of, you know, 2-player co-op beat 'em up game.
I'm sold.
Yeah, if it's going to come out, it's $10. It's an instant buy for me by far. I was really impressed, especially with something that was just announced. I had figured it was probably a ways off, but the demo that they had on the floor was actually the full like Xbox Live Arcade game, to the point that it was the demo. Like, it had the option to unlock it after I beat it. I was like, wait, crazy. What? You don't have the full game here? So that was a lot of fun. That was a pleasant surprise. So I played Battlefield 1943, which was another game that just got announced. No co-op mode, but I was pleasantly surprised by it. It's going to be a $15 to $20 arcade title with 24-player multiplayer. And if anybody ever played Battlefield 1942 on the PC, it has the Wake Island map, which was like demo map that came out for that game. It's
Midway.
Yeah. It was awesome. They scaled it down a bit. They dropped it from 5 to 3 classes for the characters, but the reason they did that was because they dropped... basically, you have regenerative health, so there's no need for a medic class. And you also have unlimited ammo. Like, the guns still have, like, clips and stuff. You have to reload and all that other kind of stuff, but you don't have to go scrambling around to try and find a heavy weapons guy to throw you an ammo kit, so... They made it a little more arcadey in that sense. But that was cool. And it was pretty funny because I'm talking to the producer of the game. And he goes, I know you. I go, really? And he goes, you interviewed me for Battlefield Bad Company, the downloadable content, which was like one of the last things I actually did for EVAV. Was a phone interview with him, and I was like, wow, I can't believe you remember that. He goes, I remember that. He goes, I remember the name Co-Optimus. He goes, that name stuck with me. I was like, sweet. So that was pretty cool. The other good interview I had on the floor, again, it's not a co-op game, but it was just a good time, was I talked with the community manager for Dragon Age, and he was just unleashing the information to me. Anything I asked, he was, you know, basically completely honest about. I said, so I hear there's, you know, 360 and a PS3 version. He goes, oh yeah, yeah. And I go, what's the plans? You know, you're going to release them the same time? He goes, well, that's what we hope for. He goes, though, the PS3 version's not looking like it's going to happen at the same time. So
That's so funny how news trickles out like that, because I remember when we were all at PAX and we got the demo of Dragon Age there, they were pretty adamant that it was PC only.
Yeah.
And it, even if there were console versions, they wouldn't release them at the same time. So that sounds like a big 180 to me.
Yeah. Like I said, though, I was kind of surprised just how honest he was about that. And because I know it was something that they were trying to keep under, well, at least originally I thought they were trying to keep it under wraps, but apparently not anymore. So I talked to him a bit more about the game, and I asked him, I was like, you know, what's your favorite feature of the game? And he was saying how the game, you know how, like, there's been this fad in games, and it's been since basically, like, maybe Morrowind, where the dialogue in the game makes your character become good or evil, right? It's a bluntly obvious choice. Like, you pick, you know, go f*** yourself, or, yeah, I'll help you, right?
Well, yeah, BioWare is one of the prime offenders of that line of thinking.
Right.
So.
And so he was saying that this game, it's a lot of gray. Like, you really won't know what you're picking, or the choices you're presented won't always be like good and bad. His example was, you might be given the choice to kill this person or kill this person. you have to do one or the other. So, you know, it's kind of an all evil choice, but is one really better than the other? You said there's a lot more shades of gray. It's a lot darker of a game.
Sounds a lot like The Witcher, if they're going to push that aspect of it, because, you know, that was a game, and I'm sorry to sidetrack you, but where if you made it, you'd be presented with a decision, and they'd be kind of morally gray as well, but you wouldn't see the results of your decision until much later down the road in the game.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I thought Fallout 3 did a pretty good job with the choices. Like, some of them, yeah, they were pretty obvious, but there was definitely some gray areas there of what you were doing and what it would give you, you know, what your points would end up going to. So, I know the final game now. The final co-op game I want to talk about was House of the Dead Overkill.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't get to actually play it because Sega was doing a thing at their booth where if you played all three of their games, like, they gave you a little card for each time you play a game, that you got, like, a free t-shirt and prize pack or something. So, like, everybody was in there playing stuff. So I basically watched some people play, and I actually talked to Coop a bit about it because he did take the time to wait and play. And he was actually kind of disappointed because he thought that they really slowed the game down a lot, and it wasn't like the real fast-paced game that House of the Dead usually is. You have a lot more time to see the zombies coming at you and things like that.
Interesting.
So he was a little disappointed. I thought it looked really good. It was, you know, for a Wii game, it had kind of like a stylized look. It had like filter effects and stuff. It's a two-player co-op title, just like all the other House of the Dead games. It has a nice little thing where, yeah, it's an on-rail shooter, but you can kind of like look around a little bit. Like, you hit the edge of the screen, you can kind of look around and see some other stuff. So you can, you know, get the jump on a guy coming at you. There might be some health or ammo or a gun off to the side.
Cool.
And really, that was it for co-op. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 was supposed to be there. They basically pulled it from the show, which doesn't bode well for the game. I went to an Activision event the Thursday night before the show, and that was one of the games they were supposed to have there, and they ended up not having it. So I was like, okay, it'll end up being on the show floor. Basically, they had the trailer that we posted on the website on the show floor, and that was it. So not looking good for that. Maybe they'll announce some stuff at E3, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe it won't come out this year, actually, which is, I don't know. It's an ambitious game. The whole combining any two powers from your character is, that's a lot to do, I would think. You know, a lot to figure out what would happen, you know. The combining Storm's tornado attack with, you know, the flames, or the Human Torch's, like, flame attack.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work, but that game's been under development for a while, so guess we'll see.
So that's my Comic-Con experience, the New York Comic-Con. It was a lot of fun. I talked to a few people that said, like, this year was actually, you know, double or triple in size what it was last year, which should bode well for next year. It was packed. It was really, really packed. A lot of people in costumes. Everyone, you know, just a generally fun atmosphere. Everyone was having a good time. People would pose for pictures, you know. I said to Coop, I was like, I wish I knew more about the comic stuff, because I saw people having nerdgasms, like, everywhere. You know, like, oh my god, I just got a signature from blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know who it was, but, man, you know, some of those kids were really excited, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's comic cons are a little rarer these days because, you know, the comic industry is in a transitional period. So you have, like, the big one, you have the San Diego Comic-Con, but,
yeah,
you know, the New York one was, as far as I understand, the biggest one on the East Coast, so.
Yeah. Anyway, so normally, we've kind of started a new structure for the podcast, and normally we would go to a question of the week, and we're going to skip it because we're running late already this show.
No.
What we want you guys to do, though, is, you know, if you have a question you want to ask us, or you want us to discuss, post it in the podcast thread, post it on the forums. We'll be looking through the forums for a good question to talk about. And we'll do that every podcast. We're going to talk about a question you guys have. So that should be pretty cool. But this week, no question. Another thing we wanted to start doing was we'll talk about some of the upcoming releases over the next 2 weeks before the next, you know, before the next podcast comes out, which is going to be out on February 24th.
So you want to run down the releases then?
Yeah, I'll just bang down them here. We can you can comment on them if you have anything to say, if you're going to pick them up maybe. We got both the Onichambra games, which is the Bikini Zombie Slayers and Bikini Samurai Squad. The Zombie Slayers are for the Wii. The Samurai Squad is on the 360.
Oh, that name is just perfect.
Yeah. You know, it actually looks kind of... The videos I saw of it actually look pretty fun. It's kind of an over-the-top action game. I don't know if I'm going to be spending any money on it, but I'd like to check it out eventually, especially with the two-player co-op option.
Yeah.
Coming out for the WiiWare is Eduardo the Samurai Toaster. And that comes out on the 12th. I should say that the Onichambra games come out on the 11th. So Eduardo the Samurai Toaster is the coolest name ever for a game. It looks pretty cool. It's a four-player co-op game. It's really stylized, hand-drawn graphics. Yeah, you're a toaster. That's a samurai.
And it's on Wii.
And it's on the Wii. So that comes out the 12th. We were just talking about it. House of the Dead Overkill. That comes out for the Wii as well on the 17th. That looks like it should be pretty decent. Like I said, maybe a little bit slower. Not as typical as the previous House of the Deads, but you get your two-player co-op on there. Moving on, the big one for me and you.
Yes.
Dawn of War 2 for the PC.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Please. Yes, times a million. Thank you.
So that's, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. We both are super excited for it. We played some of the beta. We loved what we played. Co-op campaign through the whole thing. Can't wait. So.
And they released a balance patch for the beta, you know.
Oh, did they?
I'll yeah.
I need to play some games instead of talking about them and writing about them.
All right, well then, you know, let's move on to the other one.
Moving on, another title we were talking about this episode, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. That comes out the 20th. And that hits the 360 and PlayStation 3. So I actually might pay money for this.
I might too, and that's a scary thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely wait for some of the reviews, but I think if the reviews give it in the eight range with the co-op, that'll push me over.
Yep.
So that's about it. We went a little long tonight, today, whenever you're listening.
What's with this Wii, Mr. Comic-Con?
I'm sorry. Let's just wrap it up.
Okay.
So this has been the Co-Opticast, which is the official podcast of Co-Optimist.com. Today is February the 8th, 2009. Hopefully you are listening through iTunes or you have subscribed to our podcast through iTunes. And if you did, leave a review. We might pay you. No, we won't. Yes, the next Co-Opticast will be recorded 22nd. And that means it will be released on Tuesday, February the 24th. Thanks everyone for listening and have a good one.